れ出すその視線に負けそうになる二人だけの危ないゲーム Love is war, love is war, love is war。Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Anavision podcast. This is episode 282. I am J-Ro, joined by Steve.
Yo, yo, yo.
Amro.
What's up?
And Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up?
Great to be doing a podcast again. On this episode, we have some news related to anime and games, as is usually the case. And we're doing Bring Your Own Topic this week, so we have a variety of stuff to talk about. I don't want to spoil it at the top of the show, so stick around for the bring your own topic in like about 10 minutes or so, because we don't have that much news to go over. So, but what news we do have, Pokemon Sword and Shield was announced for Switch. Nintendo did a short direct video that announced the game will be coming to the Switch, and it'll be the first mainline Pokemon game on consoles, finally.
Yeah, I mean, I said it last time we did the podcast, the Nintendo Direct was like, oh, I'm so, but they didn't announce the Pokemon game, but then I forgot that, you know, it was like, what, Pokemon Day or Anniversary or whatever, and so they did a whole Direct on it, and now I'm definitely like, I want to get the Switch by the end of the year for this, for sure. I mean, I love me some Pokemon. But yes, it looks pretty cool. I'll say that. Calling it a gripe isn't necessarily the best way to put it. My only disappointment is that honestly, while the graphics look great, it just looks like a tweaked up version of, was it 7th gen or 8th gen, whatever the current gen is. It's just a tweaked up version of that. No, like, radical departure. Like, I was hoping for some more, like, you know, see the Pokemon moving around and the actual leaves, like it was in, even in Let's Go, that's the way it was. You could see them moving around more. And I was hoping to kind of have more of an immersive world like that. But, you know, it looked, for what we saw, which was admittingly not terribly a whole lot, it did look good.
Yeah, I kind of agree with XCOM's point on Facebook. He was saying that didn't really need to be a direct. They could have just announced it via a post or something.
Right.
But it's been a long time since I've played Pokemon. I think the last one I tried was probably Black and White and didn't get too far in. And
that
I was looking
good.
Yeah, I was looking through the mainline series of what the last one I beat. It was Red and Blue. It's been 20 years.
Yeah, I haven't played Pokemon game like the same with you, Jared, in a long time. It's because it's one of those things that never appealed to me. I like the first game, I like the anime, I like the characters and all that stuff, but it's like, just never grew past that and wanted to play more. But this has me kind of interested, maybe getting back into it, because the graphical overhaul and all that maybe might get me into it.
I just think it's interesting that I hate, and I really mean this, like there have been, I could probably count the franchises I like that are turn-based, and yet Pokemon has always appealed to me. Like, I just normally hate turn-based JRPG kind of systems, but man, something about Pokemon, the way it plays and the way it feels and training up, that I love. I'm excited. I mean, I'll say this. Out of the starters, I feel like I don't know enough information to really pick one. But I kind of think the grass one looks kind of cool over the other two. But, you know, there's very few starter Pokemon that actually look cool. It's always the third evolution that looks the coolest.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so you should be able to pick them.
Yeah, so to me, at least from what I see here, I don't exactly know which one I'd want, but... Because usually I always start with, I'll admit it, I'm usually the fire. I always start with fire. It's just, that's the way I tend to go. But this
one, hoping to God that it's not another firefighting. Like, we don't need another firefighting.
Yeah. It'd be hard to tell. Like, what would you do with a bunny?
Right. It's kind of hard to tell what their evolutions would be like.
Well, and the thing is, like, someone already pointed it out that, like, the score bunny, it has like little patch on its face that kind of looks like a bandage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm like, oh god, it's happening. But
I think it's being that to like a soccer player. I think it's obvious with the way it's designed. But yeah, I can see the bandage coming off. That being why it evolves. Something like that.
But yeah,
what's,
I don't know.
What other typing would it have though? Like, because they've done fire psychic.
Yeah, it fire could be psychic like a
fighting one, fighting fire maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Is that we don't want firefighting because like we've already had like there was Blaziken. No, there was Blaziken, the monkey Infernape. There was the boar Pokemon. That's three. I guess the one for Litten turned into Fire Dark, didn't it? Even though it looks like it should be
Fire Dark. Yeah, Litten
so was Fire Dark. At the very least, that one was dark, and we had a Fire Psychic. But like, firefighting is super played out at this point.
Mm.
Whether they like something just super dramatic,
maybe
like a bird or something.
I got one. Fire Fairy.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a bunny. They could make it like look all super cute.
Yeah, that would offset its steel weakness.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Until we know more, we have no idea.
It's just speculation at this point.
Yeah. But does this, Steve? You don't have a Switch. Does this inch you toward
getting it this year? Yeah, that was actually the first thing I said. I said, I should be getting a Switch this year by the end of the year because I definitely want this. So I've been thinking about it more recently. I probably will pick it up before this and just play maybe some of the backlog games. But we'll have to kind of wait and see on that one.
I'll probably be picking it up. Like I skipped out on Sun and Moon just because I really wasn't playing my DS that much, so it just didn't appeal to me. But you know, I need to play some more games on my Switch, and this looks like the perfect thing to get back into it.
Next up, Fortnite is adding a ping system in, or they've added a ping system in Season 8 of Fortnite. You know, we just talked about Apex Legends on the last podcast, and one of the things is about how the ping system is really cool. So
I was going to say,
Fortnite basically just said, hey, that seems like a good idea. We should put that in our game right now.
They're just like, oh, wow, that game has one. Let's do it.
Well, not just that as well. They're giving away the next event stuff for free. So before, a lot of event stuff, you'd have to go and pay. But because of Apex actually digging into their market a lot, mm-hmm. they decided the next event, which is coming out, like, I think in the next week or so, that'll be all free. So mm-hmm. it's one of those things where I was watching or reading something and they're like, last year Fortnite made, you know, $2 billion and they're like, this year it's going to be down. I'm like, even if it's down 50%, you're still talking about $1 billion. I mean, apparently even PUBG even made PUBG. Did I say PUBG? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, PUBG.
Yeah. It made $1 billion last year. And that game seems like it's dead. But mm-hmm. it's got a lot of cash, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, like, just a loot box type of thing that are.
Yeah, loot box events.
Pay for the game, I guess, buying the game.
Well, the game is free.
Okay.
So it's all free to play, just making mad bank. That's a lot why the speculation why Apex was released for free, because they mm-hmm. expected it was going to be, you know, it was probably a part of a bigger project, and they just kind of shifted it based on, you know, the way the market is. And that's mm-hmm. why a lot of people said, you know, if Call of Duty released Blackout for free, it would have been an amazing deal, but they didn't do that, and Blackout's practically dead for right now. So, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I read something else, if I'm correct, that I saw there may be hints at possible respawning also in Fortnite. Some people may have thought that they saw some stuff, which would also come on the heels of Apex Legends, which allows you to respawn your teammates. But it's one of those things where you could mock Fortnite, but it's a cool system. It's something that should be in more games, and it's good for competition, and it gave a little something that can make Fortnite better. So I think it's cool.
Honestly, people who mock Fortnite are the same people that mock Minecraft. It's not necessarily that they're bad games. It's that they have such a huge audience, and people got to be cool. They're like,
yeah,
don't play that crap that everyone plays. Little kids play.
They don't like easy to play games. I guess they want the harder skill set. Unless these games.
No, it's not even that the skill set. It's just it's popular, and people like it. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, I mean,
popular things. Yeah. Sick.
Yeah, you see it all over Reddit. Like, any subreddit that I go to, whether it's sports-related or video games or anime or whatever, people are just annoyed with Fortnite. And
like, oh, yeah, even, like, YouTube. Did their rewind, but they had Fortnite. Everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
Why'd you put it's, the game? Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, they're going to be this popular at the time, so.
It's one of the things where I don't like Fortnite, but that's because I find Fortnite boring to watch, and it's kind of like one of those games that's fun to play at first, but then after like a couple hours for me, I just get... I mean, that's most Battle Royale games in general for me. I just get bored of after a couple hours. So that's the reason I don't like it, but you know, if you want to play it, more power to you.
Yeah, Pokemon, still in short, Battle Royale. Come on. Throw it in there.
You know, I've actually, I guess... going on a little tangent here, but back to Pokemon. I was actually playing around with the new Pixelmon stuff because they just started releasing that. And I was like, ooh. I haven't played Minecraft in for ages, but I was like, Pixelmon's new. They added all this stuff.
Next up, in anime news, Chihiro Furu Season 3 was originally planned to air in the spring 2019 season, but it has been delayed to the fall 2019 season. That is a bit of a bummer, but hey, it makes the fall season better. And we got, looks like a decent list of stuff coming in spring. And the mangaka, Yuki Suitsugu, commented a little bit about the status of the manga and saying that she or he did not expect it to end by October when the anime would premiere. So tough to tell if they're trying to line up the manga's ending with the anime or whatever. We'll have to see.
I mean, that would make sense. I mean, if they want people to get the full story, that's kind of a good way to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
It gives me time to catch up because I kind of dropped out mid-season of season two.
Yeah, I got that's one I might have to rewatch because it's been...
been a while.
It's like at least 5 years or maybe not that long.
I'm still Team Taichi.
Yeah. The right team. And our last story, Gintama is getting a new anime project. Probably. This was announced today on Sunday, March 3rd.
Yeah, Gintama has this weird thing of they go off. I mean, I think we talked about it before with me and Steve, that it goes away for a bit and then comes back. It's like this weird thing. They tease. Like, oh, we're coming back. But I think we've talked off air a minute ago that there might be a movie. I could see it being another movie, another live action movie, but it'd probably be more anime. Like I say, did use the anime trailer, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I mentioned that I was super disappointed in the way the series ended, but I firmly believe we will at some point get a ending to the series in anime form. I mean, it's just too popular. The fact that they're doing live action stuff, they're doing, you know, another movie project, probably, I'm assuming, makes most sense. I don't expect it to be another anime season because that just doesn't make any sense because it's moved to a monthly format. I feel like they would wait until the show actually, or the manga actually finished before they actually did anything new. But, you know, I'm glad there's going to be a new project. The movies have been pretty good. So, at least the animated ones that they did. So, I mean, I'm down. As long as it keeps the you know, the series alive, I'm happy. Because as long as the series is alive, as I said, it's more likely they'll come back and do, you know, Gintama final season. A question mark. They'll probably question mark it. This is a gag.
Asterisk sign back in the corner or whatever.
Yeah.
It may not be the last season.
All right. So, we will play some intermission music. And when we come back, we'll be bringing our own topics. And welcome back to the podcast. I will get us started off with Bring Your Own Topic and talk a little bit about the Division 2 beta with a little bit of Anthem mixed in. So my expectations coming into this year were that I barely cared about the Division 2 coming out and that Anthem was the game I was most interested in. Having played both betas, surprisingly, that has flipped, where now I could not care about getting Anthem at any point, and now I'm looking at the Division and thinking, maybe this is something I want to play. So with Anthem, the flying stuff was really cool. It was the coolest part of the whole demo. However, a lot of the stuff that I played, I kind of felt a little cold on. Like the gunplay, I wasn't too excited about. Skills didn't really fascinate me that much. The story didn't really draw me in anyway. And the central hub that you walk in, your character walks very slowly. And I know that's weird to have that be like a main gripe, but when it's a place you're going to be in quite a bit, I kind of feel like it's lacking a little bit. And then also, when you transfer to areas, there were very early on, there were very long loading screens. And apparently they fixed that through a day one patch or whatever you want to call it, because of the way they released a game to premier members of their EA Access Pass or something. But ultimately, I left kind of feeling like, I'm not really that sure about the game. And then Anthem came out, and there was already a loot problem where people were doing the Grandmaster missions, and they weren't getting the quality loot that they were expecting to get. I keep wanting to say Bungie, but BioWare had to, you know, apply a fix to that. And I just kind of felt like Destiny has been out for many years. And one thing that I was concerned about with Anthem is that we've seen what Bungie has done with this game, good and bad, over the years. You can't really mess this up at the start. And in that situation, and also with the load times and stuff, it seems like they did. And Anthem, I think, is going to be one of those games that over time may end up becoming a disappointment of the year.
I'm really not surprised. I feel like I was definitely on your level too when I was thinking of games I was most interested in. I was like, I really don't care much about the Division, but Anthem has me piqued. But I think it's one of those things where when people started playing it at first, it was like, you know, this is fun. This is, you know, but then it was like as the game progressed, and one of the things I thought was hilarious was they did a big push about, oh, in game we have our plans. But people just found, like, as the game progressed, it didn't feel like it was very full. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a common problem right now. It seems like more of these big, kind of big budget, I say, like big budget open world kind of MMO kind of systems are just, you know, they're not really filling out. And it's a lot more repetitive stuff. And mm-hmm. I think even the Division, I'll be like, I know the Division's got a lot of stuff to it, but I'm going to feel a little surprised because if it like really has legs, because I think more and more people are kind of playing these games and are like, they're all the same. It's kind of like when Destiny first came out, I'm not going to say it was unique, but the scale of it was different. And I think that's what kind of gave it such a huge audience. And then, of course, the Division followed not too long after the first Destiny game. I think it was the next year. And again, it still had that kind of freshness about it. But I think we're kind of getting into an era kind of like where, you know, like while Fortnite's great, there's a new Battle Royale. And like even Apex Legends, it's great and it's popular right now. But it seems like there's a new Battle Royale game every, you know, 2 to 3 months. And the market has become saturated. And the thing about Battle Royale games is it's not as big of a deal because, you know, you're talking about short matches. But games like, you know, The Division and Anthem, they're grinds, you know. You have to invest hours and hours and hours, and And even after the game's done, they, you know, new patches and new updates, and you got to, you know, dive back in, and you have to invest those hours and hours again. So the question is, do you want to do that for how many games? Yeah. So I feel like it's going to be hard for games going into the future to kind of get a huge audience and not just kind of remain kind of like have a really strong core group, you know, may not be the biggest group ever, but a group that spends mm-hmm. money and stuff, but not really yeah. have the longevity for a massive audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if there's anything that's kind of keeping me from going all in on Division 2 right now is that, because Destiny has been my main game for coming up on 5 years. And I still like the game. I'm looking forward to the new season of the Drifter that's starting this week. I'm just kind of thinking like Division 2 is another several hours of grind. Can I really invest to get to the end game? And also with Anthem, you mentioned end game. The end game is, as far as I can tell, it seems very thin at the start. And that's... what even is a release date anymore? Like, you put these games out, and then you like, there's roadmaps and stuff. It's all good. It kind of gives you an idea of where the game's going. But you got to give me a better product out of the box on day one. You know,
I feel a little more sympathy toward developers. Now, I definitely think Anthem probably could have used another probably 4 months. Maybe 6 months of development and kind of working some of the kinks out and stuff. But I feel like games like Anthem and games like The Division and even games like Destiny, players expect so much. You know, people won't sit there and go, man, I spent $60 on that Spider-Man game and I beat it. And what is the end game? Like, I gotta go and now have to just start over with New Game Plus mode. That's the end game. You know, people don't say that. People just go like, oh man, I spent my 60 hours playing Spider-Man and it was fantastic. But then you go to games like Anthem and stuff and you're like, I spent my 100 hours playing the game. Now I'm in the end game stuff and it sucks. Fuck you. You know, it's like, I do feel like... for some extent, we have to kind of be a little bit lenient on in-game scenarios because, you know, games like Anthem are meant to be grinded. And, you know, after you spend 100 hours in the game, I feel like if you're complaining, or even if it's like 50, 60 hours in a game, and you're already starting to complain about there's nothing to do. I feel like most games you seem comfortable playing 60 hours in and don't complain, but... you know, you get these big MMOs, we have a little bit more of these lofty expectations. So I do feel some sympathy. I will say that.
Yeah, although... I've seen this with Blizzard of the World of Warcraft. They add an expansion patch, which is free. That's great. And it's like, oh, this new raid is going to be out for 3 months or 2 months. Beat it and wait for the next thing. That's what you do with all MMOs. So, but with Blizzard, they always give you something to do. There's other things you can do on the side, storyline stuff, quest, things like that, but yeah.
So, for The Division 2, I've been playing on PC, and I'm getting back into the gameplay of it. The gameplay feels mostly familiar, and even some of the skills that you get are familiar. But I do like the world. I didn't expect to. It's in Washington, D.C., it's more, there's areas that have been taken over by vegetation. I have not played a dark zone in the beta, but the way that they're doing the dark zones is that there are three separate zones. Instead of just something in the middle, there's stuff off to the sides. And in general, they will normalize your weapons so that they make the experience more twitch shooter based. Than just, you know, having some level 30 person gank stuff from a bunch of level 4s or something like that. But they are doing one dark zone where they're designating it as a place where level advantages are enabled and you will want to gear up as best as possible. They've also added a conflict mode, which is a standard 4 versus 4, like... domination like sort of like, you know, take hold control of territories like in a lot of FPS games. So I'm kind of interested now in Division 2. There are a lot of things that are very similar that kind of make me feel like, should I go in on this? Because I may be burned again, just as I was with Division 1, in that the end game content was not that great. There were a lot of bugs. Do you remember the incursion that we did, Steve? It was me, you, XCOM, and Bleeb. We were shooting sticky bombs through a wall at a tank. Yeah, so hopefully, you know, stuff like that doesn't happen. But you hope that with having such a messy first game that the developer improves upon that. So my impression of Division 2 beta is good. I am not entirely sure if I'm in on it, but I'm certainly more interested in that than I am Anthem.
I'll say this. I was playing through some of the beta of... not beta. I was doing the free weekend when they did Black Ops free weekend. You know, it was like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I will say that the one thing I did notice is that I definitely need to upgrade my GPU so I can start playing more of these games, because seems like a lot of the betas really tax my computer. Mm-hmm. So, and I never really built my computer with the intention of gaming. So I kind of just put a graphics card that can run, you know, like Overwatch at like, you know, 100 frames, 80 frames off my computer being a little laggy. It's enough to where it doesn't, you know, it's good. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of these bigger games. It's like, because I, like, for instance, we just recently got our free copies of Assassin's Creed. And I couldn't put the settings on medium. Oh. I was like, I'm never playing this on my computer. So. Yeah. I need to, like, my GPU can handle it. Or no, my processor is good enough. I just need to probably put in a couple hundred dollar, at least $200 or $300 GPU and upgrade this thing.
Right, yeah. All right, Steve, you have our next topic.
So we've kind of already done this topic kind of slightly before. But my main kind of thing was I was looking at, because what we did was we talked about, you know, how growing older, our habits have changed. And so kind of like, I felt like bringing back the aging otaku kind of question and just kind of gauging how a lot of our habits have changed for anime and games over the last few years. Because, you know, I can tell you for sure, you know, talking about these games like Anthem and The Division and stuff like that, one of the things I was thinking about too is like I want to play those games, but my habits nowadays, like, I don't know if I want to, because, like, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't play games all day anymore. I'm the guy that, you know, might play for an hour or two, you know, play some, you know, maybe play a little bit of Overwatch late at night, where I can just, you know, play a couple of quick play games and then go to bed. And so I was thinking, like, how have my habits have changed? And definitely when it comes to gaming, my habits have changed quite substantially. I mean, I did play quite a bit of games last year. When I got my PlayStation 4 report, like, how long you played on the PlayStation 4? It was well into the hundreds of hours, like 300 hours or 400 hours. And I was like, what? I was like, I played that much? And I looked, I was like, oh, I guess I did. I will say, just kind of, I felt like just asking the questions, like, how have your habits have changed? Like, have you noticed you're watching less anime, more anime, playing less games? Like, Jero, I know, I don't want to speak for you, but you definitely seem to, over the last several years, been watching a lot less anime.
Yeah, it is lessened, and I kind of control how many shows that I do watch, and I also rarely watch on the day of release. I think the only show that I'm really keeping up with the day it comes out is Kaguya-sama. After that, it's just, what am I in the mood for now? And I'll watch those, and then I'll catch up later. Like last night, I was just, I'll watch my comedy shows, romance stuff. So I watched Kaguya and Quintuplets. I'll save Neverland for later and stuff. So I really, like, I find at some point that above like five or six, I just can't fit in any more shows. So something like Shield Hero that haven't been watching, but have been kind of following along with, thinking, hey, this looks pretty interesting now. I may want to watch it when it's done. So I am much more likely these days to watch shows when they're done versus, you know, following weekly. Like weekly, I just can't watch too many shows.
What about you, Omar? You haven't been saying a whole lot. What have your habits changed over the last few years?
I would say that it's probably, I'm playing less video games just in general, I think. I'm also not I've been trying to distance myself from like hype, for example. So like, mm-hmm. I know when Kingdom Hearts 3 was coming out, and the hype was strong for that one, I kind of like distanced myself. I was like, I'm not going to watch any trailers, none of the videos, none of the coverage. Like, I don't want to watch, experience any of that before playing the game. And now it's been like a month since the game came out and I still haven't gotten it. I'm just sitting here like, eh, I'll get around to it eventually. and instead, you know, I ended up playing like the Persona dancing games, which again, I got to later, after they had come out, you know, played those to completion. And then now I'm just kind of like, since I was in a Persona mood, I was like, you know what? I never did get the platinum trophy in Persona 5. So I started playing that again. And I'm just kind of like taking it at my own pace. But even then, I'm not like playing an excessive amount. I found that more often than not, I will spend time just, I mean, like I'll watch anime pretty much weekly. Like I'm more or less caught up on everything that I'm watching this season most of the time. Like to me, that seems like a better way to relax, like after work, especially with mm-hmm. my kind of like my schedule that's all over the place. It seems a lot less daunting to be like, well, two shows came out today, so let me watch those two shows and then go to bed, you know, as opposed to like, well, I only have an hour, so I can't really play much of, like, you know, it's the kind of thing where like, I don't have a lot of time, so I don't want to start playing something that I'm going to have to stop. So I just end up not playing it at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's more or less what my habits are right now. I'm definitely reading a lot more like light novels and stuff of shows that, you know, like for example, Danmachi and Devil's a Part-Timer, like those shows, they took so long, like, you know, some of them still haven't gotten second season, so I'm reading the source material. I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't think it's too much of a crazy difference. It's just the balance, and that's the other thing, is that like the balance kind of swings. Like there will be weeks mm-hmm. where I don't watch anything and I'll just let it save up for the weekend and then you know, binge on a day that I actually have off or something like that. But yeah, I'd say that's what my habits are right now.
Yeah, I understand that whole video game premise of it, you know? Like, I know I give you a lot of shit when you don't buy games and don't complete them and finish them or even open them.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things where, like, even I would say as soon as 3 years ago, you know, as late as 3 years ago, it would have been, I would have said, you are crazy if you'd ever think I'd buy a game and not finish it. Like, I would have legitimately said that. And I remember at one point where when it came to anime, probably about 8 years ago on anime, I was the same way. I was like, I would never start an anime and not finish it. But then, you know, looking at my collection, like, I bought that game. Did I even beat it? And, like, I'm a little surprised myself on that. Like, that's happened to me, too, over the last few years. And kind of like even as I said, you know, do I want to play games like The Division? Well, don't get me wrong, I loved playing The Division 2. But the reason I loved playing The Division 2 is because I was playing it with Jero, I was playing it with XCOM, I was playing it with, you know, other people I had met on PlayStation, and I was loving it. But now it's like, I don't know, will I meet those same people? Like, not those same people, obviously, because we tend to have very wild schedules, especially with XCOM. But, like, you know, will I meet new people to play with at times and that'll be good? Or, you know, will I just, you know, find myself playing it by myself, and do I really have the interest to invest all that time into it? So, and before I ask Fosh, because I know everyone's like, you're not asking Fosh. But no, the one more thing I will say, I will admit that I have changed dramatically. at least when it comes to gaming habits and stuff too. I watch way more Twitch than I should. Like, I really thought, I remember saying this a few years ago, Twitch was stupid. I was like, just go to YouTube. Like, I can watch playthroughs, fast forward through them. I don't understand Twitch. They're just talking to the audience the whole time. Who cares? Just watch the watch, you know, watch the Let's Plays and stuff, and then you're good. But now it's like, I have a blast on Twitch. Like, I'm, you know, even last night, I stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was gonna go to bed. It was like, I think it was like 2 o'clock. I took a shower. Like, I'm just gonna go to bed. And I was like, maybe I'll wind down. I'll put on some Twitch, watch some Twitch. And, you know, one of my streamers I like to watch play Overwatch came on, and his name is Harblue, and he was just having a blast at the game, and I could not turn it off because I was enjoying it so much. And, like, again, I never would have expected myself to do that. I felt like my habits kind of changed, where I feel much more comfortable just watching someone play a game and kind of enjoy that experience, because then I don't have to worry about, you know, oh man, I died again, I gotta restart. So I can just enjoy watching them play something like Resident Evil 2 and not have to actually invest the time in playing it myself. So
yeah, and invest $60 in the game and play it.
I think it's only 40 actually.
Oh, 40? Okay.
Still, Fosh, what about you? Because I guess I don't even think you were around when we did the aging otaku question. Like, what kind of habits have you noticed changed over the years? Like, have you doing stuff less or watching stuff less? Shows, you notice you're watching different shows or still the same shows?
Yeah, definitely for me, it's more like, because I'm usually the type, I want to give everything a fair shot. Even if it's like a reverse harem, I'll give them a little one or two episodes to see if I'm into this or not. But my habit's been kind of changed, where if I watch my brother a lot. We watch shows together on my computer, and it's like, if we're not enjoying or watching, like, we're both kind of like bored, not really into with the characters, we're kind of like allowed to build up and like, okay, episode 5's out. You don't watch this anymore? Now we're done. We delete it. We're done watching it. So that habit we've done that a lot lately. The past, I guess, since 2017 onward, we've gotten to a point where if we're not having fun, let's stop watching it. You know, we're not going to invest the time in watching something that we're not, you know, we don't care about, which means a good way to do it. If you don't, you're not having fun, you know, quit doing what you're doing, basically. And we can also, like, throw more movies. Usually we don't watch many movies at all. So we watch some, Hollywood movies, throw some stuff like that in there. So we watch Netflix. So we've been trying to change it up a little bit here and there, not just stick to just anime only. So we watched the live action Gintama movie. We've never watched any live action anime at all. So it was cool just doing that, doing something different in there.
You know, as a fun side note, I want to mention something that I had a what the fuck moment when I was watching a live action Japanese drama the other week. So it was a live-action Japanese drama that was based on a manga. So, and it was only 6 episodes long, and they're like 23 minutes each. So I was like, I'll watch this. Now, I started watching it, and there's this one character on there that was bugging the hell out of me. I was like, I've never seen this guy before, but he sounds so familiar. And lo and behold, I'm gonna butcher his name, but Mayu Mamoru.
Mamoru Miyano?
Yes. Was fucking live action acting.
And that's not too surprising, honestly.
I looked it up. His first time he's ever done it.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's got no credits for any kind of drama or live action movie. And it was truly weird, because, like, I was just like, got one of the most iconic voices in Japanese voice acting. And so to hear him and, like, doing all the, like, the you know, doing all his flair too,
Miyano things.
Yeah, like, you know, it was really weird.
It's funny since you just brought that up, because, like, earlier on YouTube I was looking up Japanese Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse clips.
Oh yeah, that's a good.
Mamoru Miyano plays Peter B. Parker in that.
Oh.
Yeah,
and I gotta watch that.
It's pretty
it's
funny.
Just as great as you would imagine.
There's a clip of Miles singing the Sunflower song. It was pretty funny. I was like, wow, you're actually singing some of the English lyrics too. I was like, wow, that's good. But anyway, but yeah, as far as the anime goes, that's my habits for that. I've been less lenient on certain things. Like, okay, this has been done before, I'm done. Like, shows like that. So it's like, or I'll skim through the list. Oh, this is a reverse harem. Every time I've tried them, I haven't had fun. I'm not going to even download it. I'm not even going to watch it. I'm not even going to try it because, you know, I find them very boring, whatever. But as far as that, that's the anime. But the gaming side, I don't watch gaming due to, you know, physical reasons. But I did buy a Switch last year. So I'm trying to get back into gaming with our brother, at least. We got Smash. And so we played that every once in a while. That's why, like, computer gaming. Like, I used to play do a lot of raiding in World of Warcraft, but I stopped doing that last year. But this year, I've been raiding a lot more, so I've been playing more, doing more of that, playing on both sides, the Alliance and the Horde, with some friends I found. My dad, even my dad plays now, so we play with him now on his guild. So it's kind of interesting. We've been doing more of that, which we used to do like two nights of raiding. Now it doubled up to like six, so three on each side. So it's kind of fun to do that, but I do take a break once in a while. Where I'm like, okay, we're stuck on this boss. I don't want to, you know, be stuck on him for another week. So I kind of take a break here and there. But as far as that, that's the new thing I guess has been happening with gaming. I mean, I do keep up with gaming podcasts. That's the thing I didn't think I'd ever do. I watched the Game Over Greggy show. I watched their thing about gaming. I'm like, this is interesting. I don't usually keep up with gaming news, but I've been trying to do that more and more, especially when I'm going to be on podcasts with you guys about gaming. So I was like, I can take an interest in some of these, you know, stories at least.
Yeah, I will say that though.
Twitch, same with me, with you.
Yeah, it's always good to, I'll say this, take breaks sometimes with your hobbies too. So
yeah.
It is definitely one of those things where 1 year I might not play very many games, and then the next year, as I said, like I was super surprised that I played so many hours on PlayStation 4 last year, because I was like, I really did not expect it to be like, it was like, again, it was like 400 or 500 hours. So
yeah, anyway. I was gonna say another thing for me, I've started building a lot of model kits again. That's one thing that like never really stopped, but like the frequency has, you know, picked back up again. It's just one of those things where I was like, you know what? You know, like one thing that really helps is the fact that they're like readily available at things like Barnes and Noble and stuff. So you could just walk in and be like, "Ooh, I like that one. Let me get that." So that's picked up a lot more. But then, like the other day, I was like, "Oh man, there's this specific thing I want," and then I looked it up and ordered it. You know, which typically I try to stay away from, because then it's Pandora's box. You can sort, you can order anything you want.
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's just another thing, little thing.
I know for Animazement, the convention that we go to here, last year I went just on Sunday, for the interest of going to the dealer's room. Mm-hmm. But I could see me, you know, by next year just not going at all.
For me, it really depends on who the guests are.
Yeah.
I
haven't heard anything good this year.
The only voice actress that, like, I'm kind of interested in is she's the Japanese voice for Misato from Evangelion and Sailor Moon. So I mean, like, she's a pretty big name, and you know, like, they're gonna have some other people that have been there before, like the Japanese voice actor for Frieza,
Ryusei Nakao.
Yeah, and I'm like that's cool and all, but at the same time, like, I really need to not go to this thing, so because I end up spending way too much money. it's the impulse purchasing thing that kicks in. You're like, oh, this is just once a year, so it's time to, you know, buy everything I can. But then, you know, a year later, I'm still paying that shit off, and then it's time to go back to Animation again.
You know, I love it when you see the ads on the TV for the cons, and like they have nobody there, like. Because, like, I was watching TV the other day, and they're like, they're about to do the Raleigh Comic Con, and they're like, and we have the voice actor of Beast Boy. I'm like, really? Beast Boy. That's their big get. That's what they're advertising on TV. They're spending that money on.
We have the live action actor for Beast Boy. Oh.
No, no, it wasn't even the live actor. It wasn't the voice actor.
It'd be that,
the
voice actor from the thing. Like, oh, Beast Boy. Oh that one.
I was just saying, I'd be more interested in the voice actor than the live action actor, to be right, honest with you.
Yeah. No, I'm saying like low budget, like, you know, like, oh, I'm so excited. Oh, it's that version. Never mind. I don't want to see that one.
Is that it, Steve?
Yep, I guess that's it.
All right. Amro, you are up next.
So I know it's a little late because this came out a few weeks ago now. It's just with our podcasting schedule and whatnot, we really haven't had a chance to talk about it. But Battle Angel Alita, or Alita Battle Angel as it's called in the Western adaptation, it came out a little while ago, and I guess the thing kind of going around, like, it did get some mixed reviews from critics, but I think the general consensus going around from, like, anime fans and I guess the people that this is targeted towards is that it's good. It's, like, actually legitimately good. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not a perfect movie. Like, I think it definitely has pacing issues in the sense that it's a very long movie.
How long is it?
I think it's 2 hours. Like, it's the kind of That's thing where, like, long. It's not that it's very long, it just feels long at okay. certain points. Like, it's one of those things where, like, you ever watch a movie, like, let's say Lord of the Rings, and the movie ends and then it keeps going.
Oh yeah. Man, those extended cuts, I can't sit through them.
that's the kind of thing I felt about Alita, was that it had a few too many like climactic moments, and you're like, oh, okay, this is the end of the movie, and then it keeps going, you're like, oh, okay. But that aside, like, everything else kind of it really actually legitimately realized the manga to live action. And you know, I think one thing that kind of put people off when they were seeing the trailers and stuff was Alita's, like, character design. And she is kind of fully CG rendered, but she's mo-capped. And they did the facial capture technology where, like, the expression on the face is the expression of the actress. But the kind of thing that put people off was, like, the big eyes, right? Like, the kind of, like, just the fact that she's got big old anime eyes and a small mouth and stuff like that. But to be honest with you, like, once you start watching the movie, you don't even notice it. Like, it, in fact, I actually appreciated it because her face is so expressive that, like, it's you know, like, you can easily kind of, like, you can see the acting on her face more easily, you know, that just the actual expression of emotion and stuff like that. Other than that, like, the action, just the visual realization of the world that this takes place in is really great. Alita's a badass in terms of fighting. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I was familiar with the source material because I read the manga, or at least part of the manga, back, like, in high school. But, you know, that was, sad to say, so long ago now that
don't mention it.
I know, right? That I was like, I have a vague recollection of this of this story. And then as I'm watching it, I'm like, even for someone who's not, like, super familiar with all the story beats and stuff, it was easy, you know, like, it made sense. Like, it was entertaining. Like, the story was actually, you know, done well. And they actually did take moments from the manga and like, actually put it into the movie. Like, it's not... Basically, what I'm trying to say, it's not like the Death Note Netflix film, which is Death Note in name only. Like, this was actually Alita made into a live action movie, and they did like a really great job in bringing it to life. So, like, if you haven't seen it yet, I actually do recommend it. I know people were saying that, like, this is one of those, because it's a James Cameron, like, produced movie, that, like, it actually really, you would do well to see it, like, in 3D IMAX or whatever. But I saw it in a regular screening, and it was just fine. Like, it was, you know, I thought it was great. But yeah, I mean, like, have you guys been, like, interested in seeing it at all, or what were your thoughts?
I feel like this is a movie I'd be much more comfortable getting on Redbox or waiting until it gets to whatever streaming platform I have.
The only reason I would say, like, it's worth watching on the big screen is for the visuals. Like, the movie looks so good that you really would want to see it on the big screen, but I can understand that. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, again, like, people, I feel like a lot of people were put off by it.
Well, there was the big reason I was kind of put off on it was it was delayed. And 9 times out of 10, anytime a movie gets delayed by more than a month, and this was like delayed by like 4 or 5 months, it tends to, I tend to have no faith in it. It's like, do I really want to see that?
I mean, technically speaking, the movie has been in development since like the 90s.
Yeah.
Right, here's my one. It's been on for a while.
Here's my one question. Did you like it? Because I think this would make my, you know, opinion of how much I want to see it. Did you like it more or less than you liked? Or have you seen Ghost in the Shell?
Ghost in the Shell movie? The live action one? No, I didn't watch it. But
oh, never mind. But I was kind of wanting to gauge if you liked it or, well, if you've never seen it, then it's a moot point.
A moot point. But yeah, but that, you know, that Ghost in the Shell movie, that's one of those things where I was like, I don't even want to watch this.
I mean, I actually don't hate the Ghost in the Shell movie. I thought it was entertaining enough, and I actually rewatched it when it was on like HBO one time or something like that. I was just like, "Oh, it's on," and I just watched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought, yeah, I liked the Ghost in the Shell movie, and I'm looking forward to seeing Alita. I'll probably wait for home video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. Like going back to the things that kind of didn't work, the romance was a little. I felt like it proceeded a little bit too quickly, and that might have been because there might have been like cuts or something in terms, you know, for time, but it did lead to one really funny scene where Alita's trying to give the guy her heart. Literally. But no, like I said, it's a good movie. The action is entertaining. I thought the acting was good in general. Like there was a couple of big name actors in there, like Mahershala Ali and Jennifer Connelly, I think, was in there. I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who plays the doctor, who's like Alita's father figure, like he's great. Like I thought he was like, and it's sad too because like a lot of his lines are basically exposition, but. Well, like I felt like he still kind of nailed it in terms of the emotional scenes.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz.
There you go.
He's amazing in like every movie he's in. Yeah. So.
I saw him do an interview with Kizna Ai.
That was so great.
That was so funny.
He was like, basically he was basically hitting on her the entire time.
That was funny. She was hitting on him too. I was like, what the hell's going on? At the end of the interview, like they was hugging the screen. I was like, oh my god, this is so rare, so weird.
He wants to marry the 2D anime girl.
Yeah, he's like 2D. He's like, wow, this is cool. Like, meanwhile, it's probably like some like old dude. It's like, oh,
yeah, I do. That was funny. I was gonna say one just to end it. The one thing I do hope is that like the movie did all right in its opening weekend. It had a pretty big drop off domestically, but then like. It opened really big in China, so like I think the movie is going to have more success overseas. Which
I hate to say this, but it seems like bad movies have all sorts of success in China.
I love that.
China's like if your movie's cheesy to the point where most American audience goes, "This is cheesy and kind of dumb," China will love it. I'm not making fun of Chinese. What Chinese like, it's just I find that hilarious because like, you know, the World of Warcraft movie, I mean, even Aquaman, which don't get me wrong, I like Aquaman, but like how much it did in China was ridiculous.
Once they're like Justice League,
I bet you China was big on Justice League too.
I don't think they were that, like that movie did not do well anywhere. But like I was saying, like I'm glad it's doing well overseas, particularly because it definitely ends on like a cliffhangerish kind of thing, like where clearly there can be a continuation. So I actually do hope it does get a sequel eventually. So you know, I really hope people do go see this.
Does it kind of give you hope for like other anime movies? Like are they Hollywood can understand that they can be good, like they try. I mean.
So that's the thing, right? Like it's the kind of like what does the message that Alita sends is that like anime movies can be good if they have like someone who cares about the source material.
Right, yeah.
Because James Cameron, like he loved the idea, like he loved the manga so much that he bought the rights like in the 90s and has held on to them and been working on getting this movie made this entire time. And like they basically said that like he made Avatar in order to develop the technology needed to bring Alita to the big screen. And that then kind of became his new passion project. So, like, Robert Rodriguez is actually the director for Alita. But, yeah, you like, if you have someone making it who cares about the source material and you have a huge budget, because I think, like, Alita had something like $200 million, then, yes, you can make a good anime movie, but that doesn't mean people will go watch it.
Right, yeah, because I did hear rumors there. It's supposed to be, I think, American Gundam movie in the works somewhere.
Yeah, that's being made. Around. It's being made by Legendary, yeah. But, like...
So I was like, because for me, I liked Pacific Rim visuals anyway. The story I didn't care too much for, but visual-wise, I was like, yeah, they could do an Eva. They could do with all these giant robots, because the robots in that are believable to me for Pacific Rim, you know, sometimes. Not really, but just the visual style. Like, they could do it if they, like you said, if they get someone that actually cares about the source material and cares about the story.
I think the problem with anime movies and the problem is the same problem with video game movies, one of the problems video game movies and even book movies have is the problem is you're talking about material that was written to be a 2 hour, 2.5 hour maybe movie. So like no matter what, like even if the anime movie was good, it felt like so missing something. You could probably pick out 1,000 movies that were made by books and be like, you know, this is the same way with this book movie. And very rarely, I think, well, not very rarely, but I'd say it's more likely that a movie made from a book tends to feel like it's missing something. And and you know, sometimes you have those gems like, you know, like the Lord of the Rings, as we said, although those are actually fairly short books, to be fair, and those are fairly long movies. So
I can watch those and kind of pick out which things are not in these movies. But he's read the books, so it's like he knows what's missing, what's not.
And I think again, there are a few where you could be like, well, the Harry Potter movies in general are good, but again, it's just hard. So I'll give a little bit. Like, I think even if the anime is good, it's harder to, but at the same time, it's like, you know, studios screw up things like the Tomb Raider reboot, even though that would probably have been one of the easiest movies in the world to make a really fantastic movie out of. So
it was sad how not good that movie was.
It could have been good.
Yeah, we'll just have to kind of give some leniency.
Well, that and you got Detective Pikachu coming out, which is kind of a video game slash anime movie. If you are, if they're hoping if that is good, they're gonna launch a universe
The problem with Detective Pikachu is it's on top of the back of a franchise that is enormous, and is also popular with even kids nowadays.
Right.
So, like, even if the movie is meh, it's going to push a lot of kids to go see it. And I think that's probably going to be why the movie tends to be, even if it's not that great, probably is going to be a
success. I'm telling you right now, that movie is going to be a huge success because...
Yeah, I think it's going to be a success.
Old people like us who love Pokemon are going to go see it.
Nostalgia, too. Nostalgia and kids are going to drive this movie.
And if you like Ryan Reynolds' comedy.
Yeah, you have him tweeting about it and stuff.
So you have, like, three audiences. You got the gamers, the anime fans... The new people that like Ryan Reynolds because Deadpool. Yeah. So
I will say the video, the little YouTube video he made was pretty hilarious. Yeah, he's like, Pikachu doesn't have kids. Pikachu don't know my kids are. And then his wife comes on. He didn't pick up our kids.
He doesn't have a wife. We're not seeing this movie.
Have you seen the newest trailer?
Yes, you know.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Like, I'm actually super excited. Like, I was already on board from the first trailer for that, but the second one just looks amazing. It looks hilarious, and you know, I do think this will be the first good video game adaptation that we get. Because remember, like, it's Detective Pikachu was its own game, and this already looks like it's following the story pretty closely from that game. So. Here's fingers crossed.
Yeah, I know.
And Foss, you have our last topic.
Yeah, like my topic was basically like, what's been a show that kind of was like not based on a sequel that you watched? You're like, oh, this is actually surprisingly better than I thought it would be. I guess I'll jump right into mine. Mine would be probably Ega no Daika, which is Country of Smiles, some mecha anime, which I thought was going to be just generic war thing, but it's actually turned into a pretty interesting mystery story of like how certain characters are going to meet each other and the mystery of like what happens to characters. There's a character that like, I guess we just finally revealed that she thought her daughter died years ago. Mm. It's actually not, and maybe on the enemy side fighting against her side. Mm. So it's like, it's kind of interesting how they're throwing these little things like that in there. But for me, I just thought it was going to be a generic mech because anything that's not based off Gundam is usually a hit, like a flop most of the time because yeah. They just aren't interesting. You know, they don't have interesting characters or, but so far this one's been really interesting. It's kept me wanting to see every episode because it's like they always end with something and you're like, what's going to happen? So for me, that's been a big surprise this season, for me at least. And a side thing would be the worst thing I've seen, probably Pastel Memories, which has this cool like recreator's premise where characters will actually go into a series and you actually see characters from that series, but they're kind of like colored differently or the story's different. But that one turned into something like, I didn't like it. It was just boring after a while. And they're going to series that I didn't really watch, so it's kind of hard to see anything with it. Like, one was about the Order of the Rabbit Cafe, which is an interesting series, but it didn't really do any much for me. And yeah, but I will keep watching and just skim through the episodes to see what series they're referencing. Like last week was Soma, which they did recreate that whole scene in the beginning, first episode where he cooks his meal for this person. But yeah, that was kind of a disappointment. I thought it was gonna be a little better than what it was.
I was gonna say I also was a little bit surprised by The Price of Smiles. Like you said, the first episode is pretty generic. I didn't kind of know what to expect. And by the second episode, it ends on this big kind of like surprise,
right?
And then completely shifts focus to the enemy side on the next episode, and it kind of gives you like I did like how it switched perspectives. So yeah, that was one. I'm a little behind on it right now just because I kind of like. I watched, I think, the first four or five episodes in one go. So that was like, let me build up a little bit of a backlog and then watch it again. But I guess my other surprise would be how clumsy you are, Miss Ueno-san.
Yeah, I'm watching that one too.
I completely skipped it at the beginning of the season because, you know, Steve, like, his description when we did our little podcast thing was like, it's stupid.
No, I said it was surprisingly funny, but really stupid.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time because like,
the problem is I said it was funny. So Amuro immediately went, this show is stupid and I'm not watching it.
Yeah. Pretty much. I was like, this sounds like a Steve show.
I tried describing someone like, is Hakase from Ninja Joe, if she turned full 80 or 360 and became a pervert, kind of. A little bit, not really, not intentionally, but kind of sort of is.
I actually just marathoned all the episodes before we started the podcast because it's really like it's short. It's I think like 12 minutes or 11 minutes or whatever, and each episode is broken into two segments. So what I like about it is that they don't like each joke doesn't overstay its welcome, And I do love the premise of her having some kind of crazy invention every episode. And it always has something to do with like her panties or bodily fluids.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of there's a lot of drinking of things. So I'll just leave it at that. But I did actually think it was rather funny. And I'm definitely going to continue watching that one.
Go ahead.
For me, it would be Magical Girl Spec Ops Asuka. I've been.
I was gonna pick that too.
Okay, yeah, because I've been surprised that. I saw the first episode and I thought it was kind of cool. I liked the action a little bit that they had in episode one, but I wasn't sure if I was gonna stick with it. But we're on episode eight now. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I thought it's been pretty entertaining each week and has stayed pretty good.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to necessarily say it's, like, the best anime, but for me it was, like, I don't like Magical Girl anime.
Right.
Like, I've watched very few Magical Girl anime, and even if I have, like, maybe finished, I probably could count them all on one hand. and I'm just not into magical girl anime. That's just not who I am. So for me to actually like something, and admittingly, it's more edgy than regular magical girl anime, but it's just, I find it interesting and entertaining, and it's one of those shows I actually look forward to watching, you know, every Friday. So I will say this, Kurumi is best girl, obviously.
Is that the short hair girl?
No,
that's the war nurse.
Oh, right. That girl, she's a less episode. Yeah. I was like, I didn't think she'd go that far.
She's spicy. She's
doing, but I was like, yeah, she. You can definitely tell there's something with her.
She's like, I'm the one.
I just like the one
that did all the dirty work for the crew. Like,
dirty work, aka torture the hell out of someone. You can heal you. Yeah, she would be a great one to torture people.
I just like how obsessed she is with Asuka, and she's just like always, like always those faces. Like, is she getting close to her? I'm gonna kill her.
Yeah, when she was getting ready to go to share the bed with her, it's funny. It's just like,
all right.
Oh my god, like this girl. But yeah, that Spec Ops has been interesting. I like the blend of like military and magical girls, because always like, what happens to the magical girls that if they defeat the end boss? What's next? Well, this shows you that, and all the mental trauma has. Mm-hmm.
I do like that Asuka is like its own sequel, because it very like very cl- like you mm-hmm. easily could have made an anime about the Dissus War and you know all that stuff that happened, but like the show is like this is the story of what happens after that, and
yeah, that's pretty good. Good idea.
Yeah, so it really does feel like a sequel to itself. But no, I really like. We talked about it a few times already, but like you guys said, I like that it's the show. It's trashy. I'll just put it that way. Like it's
right.
It's edgy. It's you know, obviously it panders with like all the girls are like ridiculously busty, and I do appreciate that, because you know typically magical girls go the lolly route.
Yeah, I kind of was about to. I'm like, thankfully it's not. You know.
If you're gonna sexualize the girls, at least make them older.
Right, we're not dealing with soccer right here and all those other ones.
And you can tell like that the guy who's making this is very clearly a military otaku a magical girl otaku. So he's like, let me combine the two things. It's like, let me take this peanut butter and this jelly, and look at that, they taste great together.
That's me with magic girls. I'm like, see, I like magic girls and mecha, so I'm like, that's why Sinful Gear is like the best combination.
That's one of those things. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. I don't think peanut butter and jelly is the best description, because those things feel like they naturally go together, versus it's just more like peanut butter and banana. It's like, what? But it works. And you're like, okay. Yeah.
That's probably a good point.
This is like peanut butter, hot peppers, and bananas. They got hotness in there.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm going to actually... I guess I'm going to kind of cheat a little.
Yeah, go
so... I'm going to pick a sequel, but honestly, when the season started, I felt like I had pretty much forgotten the Monros Mononokeon.
Okay,
I thought, different one. I thought like the first season of that show, like I don't like, you know, a few years ago, you know, it's one of like a dozen shows that are about a guy who can see yokai powers, and so I felt like I almost had no expectations going into the season, and this season has been really good, like emotional aspect, development aspect, story aspect. I was like, wow, I'm really digging this show, and you know, especially it's because like the main character Hanae, we're actually getting to his backstory and his dad, and you know why he can actually see these things, and it's, you know, shockingly, as I said, shockingly, I forgot how much emotion this series has, and how, you know, how entertaining the show is, and, you know, and coming from someone that, you know, we watch, I really liked, like, Natsume, you know, his Book of Friends, and I feel like this show, you know, being the fact that it's only the second season, I feel like this show, I don't know if I'd call it on the same level, but has like that same potential of, you know, like I really enjoy it, kind of that same kind of flow. So
with Dororo, that one's kind of like that too. It's like there's dramatic moments, there's good moments, there's like action. It's like that series there is pretty good too. I think that one's, I didn't think it was gonna be anything but generic samurai. series.
I mean, when I first, I felt like Dordo had potential, though. Like, to me, it wasn't shocking that it was good. I think, like, another good example would be something like My Roommate is a Cat, a show that I would have told you was... Oh, I dig that show so much, because it's like the having the dichotomy of both, you know, having the first part of the show be about...
Yeah, I like how they switch it.
Yeah.
You see one side and the other. That's pretty good. I did that.
And I feel like the characters have really kind of fleshed out more, and like I really dug the story, especially of Subaru, and like learning about his past and kind of his the tragic story of his parents and... You know, just learning about him, I felt like, and even the cat, like Haru and her tragic story, you know,
it was a clip of her meeting these little kids, and it's hilarious. I just saw a clip on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, this is, maybe I'll go back and watch it, but I saw that clip that she meets these little kids, and her cat, whatever, told her, protect the little kids, and she was going to scratch the hell out of the little kid, but then she's like, no, I can't, and it did. But like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a lot of heart in the series, and I think that combined with a lot of the story elements it's surprisingly good. So hey.
Yeah, and then I think the last one for me would be the five quintuplets. I thought it was gonna be a generic, you know, harem comedy, but this has been pretty good. It's hard to pick a girl because they all got something that makes them, you know, kind of fun to watch. Yotsuba in the last episode, she kind of almost did a little mini confession, but was like, nah, I'm just kidding. I'm like, are you kidding though?
That's the thing, is like, that like,
are you kidding?
It's she, okay, so she confessed, and then right, it was like a lie, he believed her, and she's like, I was just kidding. But like, they had literally just spent the entire first part of that episode being like, oh, she's a really bad liar.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then you got the whole thing, well, he knew them as kids. I knew that was coming. I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they all had long hair. I was like, yeah, because from the viewer perspective, we see the different hair color, but from in their world, they don't probably see that. So it's like, I guess I could see they could play that off as could be any of these girls. You don't know.
Well, I was going to say...
But see, here's the thing, though. In the photo of their past, they literally all have the same hair color.
They probably have styled their hair, like, you know. So, right, you know, it's probably not... Like... It's weird, right? Because like you know, he like they'll change up their hairstyle and suddenly he can't tell them apart even though their hair color is different.
Right. Like, short hair. Because there's an episode where they literally sneak into the school again and they switch the room around. It's like you can't tell.
I love that.
Their hair cut completely short.
I just liked how he tried it too.
Yeah,
I'll say this. Confirmed, I bet you money, or I would say Usagi must be a racist because he cannot tell the girls apart. He's one of those guys, like, all Asian people must look alike. You know?
Yeah, he's quite colorblind, too.
You said it.
Because I always wondered that with certain animes, like, especially like Precure, where they change their hair when they transform, but it's the same hair color. Like, literally the same person. But like, from their point of view, if I don't see the hair color, that's all.
Recently, Precure doesn't do that so much anymore. Like, their hair actually does change. But, like, Sailor Moon literally puts on a tiara. They're like, right, and she has the exact same hairstyle. They're like, who are you?
Right,
Mysterious, beautiful lady? And she's like, and just before that, they'll be like, ah, you little goober.
Clark Kent wears glasses.
Right, and that's how I justify it, too. It's this identity thing. It's your identity.
Yeah. It's good in Magical Asuka that they came up with something, even if they never really like explain what the tech is that's causing that to happen.
It's an aura. It's magic. Around
it's just
magic.
Like,
it's magic. They gotta explain shit.
It's aura.
That's always the rule. If you can't explain it, just say magic.
Yeah.
But that I think that's it for me. I don't really have any other surprises that upset. I mean, Kaguya. I didn't think that was gonna be more than I have a regular rom com, but. It's far from that now. Lately, it's been really.
Kaguya to me is one that I didn't have any expectations for, but after I saw that first episode, I was like, "This show's going to be amazing."
Yeah, like, it's got this, like this Shaft visual style almost thrown on top of it somewhere in certain episodes.
I feel like sometimes you kind of have to draw a line. Like, you know, you see something like Kaguya, like to me, it wouldn't surprise me that it ended up being very good. That, like I take something like Shield Hero,
mm-hmm.
like. I like, you know, isekai, you know, anime. So I can't really say, well, you know, Shield Hero. I'm loving
surprised
it.
It was
That's
good.
Surprised I love it. Yeah. You know, it's like, I kind of expected that. You know, even something like Dororo. Like, well, I didn't necessarily have any expectations. You know, it was an old based on an old anime I've never seen anymore. Like, I'm not surprised it ended up being it's as good as it is, because again, it's, you know, it's got good fighting and it's, you know, it's got it had all the tools it needed before me going into it, even if I wasn't expecting it. But it shouldn't surprise me that I like it. That's why I like, you know, Magical Girl Asuka, whatever the show is, you know, surprised me so much, because I literally, like, I don't want to see this, and then I watched it.
Well, mine for the Country of Smiles, like, I've seen so many mecha anime that try to be like this Gundam type story where it's about the war, and this is the first one that actually kind of did it right, I think, where you see both sides. Yeah. So it's like, it's still a generic mecha compared to most of them, but to me, at least, it's not like, you know, most of them I've seen, like, I've tried, I can't really give examples, but like Buddy Complex, those type of things. There's a time where it was like Buddy Complex.
All right, don't talk shit about Buddy Complex.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of like their mecha that came out like I think last year that is one shot stories that tried to mix it up. You know, you had like Cross Ange, which is like what if mix, but with dragons. You know, that those kind of things. So they did a bunch of that. But this one's kind of like first one that I like that's gone back to the war aspect of mech, which I kind of like.
It's a very simple sci-fi war story.
All right, and that has been our discussion. And before we sign off, I have one story that I want to read, an anime story that I thought was pretty funny. So there's a light novel. I'll save the name for last. There's a light novel in which development has stopped after volume 2 because the author insulted the illustrator on Twitter. And there's like inappropriate comments on social media and stuff. And the name of this light novel series was called "I Chose to Leave Because I Was Threatened with Expulsion from the Party Unless I Became a Sex Slave of the Female Hero."
Wow. And they were like, was the illustrator female? And sexist comments toward her?
Yeah, I don't see any sexual preference identification.
Basically what it was is that the author misunderstood what the artist was saying, and they basically said something along the lines of like, drawing only sexy things can get a little boring. And I guess he was like, he took that as offensive as saying like his work was boring or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, I think it was more along the lines of like, you know, give me some more variety of things to draw.
Like, that's a manga right there. Like, I can't understand much my artist is drawing.
Yeah,
I saw one that's like novel was like someone gets reincarnated as a sword, so they are actually just a sword. That's all they turn into. I was like,
I'm sorry. There's a light novel called you know, I was reincarnated as a vending machine. So
yeah.
At least was it a panty vending machine?
No. It's a magical vending machine that he can do. Basically, he can vend whatever. Like that's his gimmick, is that he can vend things based off of what is needed at the time, and basically,
I think I'm already not interested.
Listen,
in this.
Listen to this. If he doesn't get like coins, like he dies. So,
oh my god.
So the drama of the story is that he has to figure out how to like market what's inside his vending machine to get coins. Yeah. Continuous
revival. This is written by a business major somewhere.
Like,
I'm in school in economy classes. I got to do something.
I mean, it's kind of a funny idea. Like, I kind of like it.
Some of this stuff is going to become anime someday.
Yeah, I was like,
my god.
I look forward to coming back to this topic later.
Yeah,
like,
we should. Yeah.
What anime surprised you? You know, the one about a guy turning into a vending machine.
Yeah,
I did not expect to like that.
Surprisingly heartful.
Made me cry. Yeah, made me cry. The action scenes are just mind-blowing.
I can already tell you I'm looking forward to seeing Do You Love Your Mom and her two-hit multi-target attack.
Oh, my God. We need to look at that. That'd be a fun, fun topic. Look at the light novel titles and the summary of them. Wow.
I do appreciate the, you know, hey, like, we need more MILFs in anime, so...
We do. I'm at that age where the MILF is a perfectly acceptable category.
Yeah. She had a mom from Gridman. I liked her. She was pretty good.
She was great. But no, like, that one manga or light novel or whatever in particular is being advertised as mom-com, as in, like, you know, like mom comedy, romantic comedy. And it's not, man. Like, it's not like an incestuous thing, but I'm over here like, hey, she's not my mom.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, as long as it's not my mom, that's my favorite new genre. The mom-com.
That's a new tag right there. Tag not my mom.
Hashtag.
Thank you for listening to episode 282 of the podcast. Anavision.org is the website where you can find all of our episodes and links to Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. And that's it. So for Steve, Amro, and Fosh, I'm J-Ro. We will see you next time on the Anavision podcast. Believe it. が風に散らばり吹き溜まって影になる僕らの足音は無情を饒舌に諭す君の瞳の深さを覗き見てうろたえる望みなどあったでしょうかこの行く先にはおどけて笑うのはこの道が暗いから明かりを灯すのに僕がいるでしょうさよならが離れたのさても手振ったら泣いちゃった僕らの真っ赤な悲しみが暮れる暮れるそして夜が来る当たり前しまう未来未来君のせいなんだ